He's the director of the Office of Divine Worship, so he knows a thing or two about the faith. It's Monsignor Gerard O'Connor.
Well, it is time again to discuss the liturgical life with Monsignor Gerard O'Connor from the Office of Divine Worship. Every month, Monsignor joins me to discuss some of the articles you will find in their monthly newsletter. There is not a July edition, but there is still news to cover. Good morning, Monsignor. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Good morning, Brenda.
Well, we've got good news to cover for sure, and that is returning to Mass. Archbishop Sample has removed the dispensation, and so people are coming back to church. Can you tell us a little bit about that decision and what that means for people who need to come back to church now?
Yeah, so, you know, during at the beginning of the pandemic, the Archbishop suspended the obligation to attend Holy Mass, which is a very serious obligation for us Catholics. You know, it's our way of keeping holy the Sabbath, which we must do, one of the commandments, of course. And so, but for us as Catholics, you know, keeping the Lord's Day, coming to the celebrate the Holy Eucharist, receiving Holy Communion, is the lifeblood of the Catholic Church. So it's got to be very serious when the bishop says you don't have to do this. But it was, you know, for the health reasons of the country and the people, our own people and those around us. So, but now we believe, obviously, and with the state and with the country sort of opening up, it's time to dispense of that dispensation, if you like. So it's just getting back to normal with regard to a Catholic's obligation to attend Holy Mass on Sundays, weekends, and holy days of obligation. Obviously, in canon law anyway, anybody who's impeded in some way from going to Mass is not obliged to do so. We're talking about our normal, healthy people now who, you know, need to go to Mass at the weekend, but there are always some who are ill or because of old age or because they've got to look after people who are ill or children. And there are various, you know, situations mm-hmm. where we don't need to apply for a dispensation. It's there within the law for those who are ill, especially, you know, if you're feeling ill. Or even now, Archbishop says in his letters, if you still feel as though you're at risk coming into churches, you know, then you're excused. But the general dispensation from the obligation has been removed. So for normal, healthy people, then it's time to come back to Mass, which is great, because I can say from my own experience this weekend at the cathedral, we definitely saw more people at every one of the Masses. And I talked to a few of my colleagues and priest buddies, not just in Oregon, but all throughout the country, in Massachusetts and various other places, Philadelphia, and they all told me they'd noticed this weekend more and more people were back. So a lot of dioceses went for this weekend. And in fact, Massachusetts went a few weeks ago, but they told me when it happened, people coming back. So, yeah, I think it's great news. It was good to see the church sort of, you know, filling up a bit.
Monsignor O'Connor, are parishes then still creating space for people who wish to socially distance, or are we really kind of back to life pre-pandemic as far as our churches are concerned?
I think most churches have done away with all social distancing and, you know, some of the other precautions that we had to do, which is, you know, sanitizing the pews and things like this. So people are just happy, you know, sitting next to whoever nowadays. And most people are not wearing masks, which indicates most people are vaccinated.
And then for those parishes who offer communion both with precious blood and the Holy Host, will that be returning anytime soon, the precious blood?
No. Right now, at this moment, the only two things that remain from the pandemic regulations are that communion is only to be distributed under one species, that of the host, and that there is to be no physical contact at the sign of peace. So what we do here is just we say, you know, the peace of the Lord be with you all or something. But we don't say let us offer each other a sign of peace, because people will get back into the bad habit. Not it wasn't a bad habit, but we'll get into the habit of going to shake someone's hand or whatever. And we don't want to make people uncomfortable by having to refuse to shake someone's hand and things like this. So it's just generally a nod and a smile at someone, and that's fine. So, and I think the distribution of communion of both species, I think I'm not sure whether that will come back in many places, because for many reasons. I mean, if it could be the spread of germs for the pandemic, for the virus, it could be for the flu and other diseases as well. So I think people are very cautious. And the church has always said, if the majority of people do not receive from the chalice, then it shouldn't be distributed. So, and that's what I think you'll find when it comes back. Only a few will receive from the chalice. And Pope Benedict said it becomes a negative sign at that point. Mm. So, you know, and we as Catholics, we understand we've done for many years, sort of since the beginning, that our Lord is truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity, really substantially under both species or either species, right?
Monsignor Gerard O'Connor joining me today as we talk about some news items this month. Monsignor O'Connor, big news also last week. It's wonderful to be able to talk with you. Pope Francis came out with a statement regarding the form and use of the traditional Latin Mass. And it basically, what a lot of people are understanding or clinging to is that the bishops now have the right and authority to make that available within their diocese. Can you tell us a little bit more about this letter and what Archbishop Sample's decision is on the Latin Mass in the Archdiocese of Portland?
Yeah, so, well, you know, the Archbishop is a great promoter of the extraordinary form of the Mass. He's a great believer in its reverence, and its contribution to liturgical development, you know, is beyond question, really. And he sees it certainly as this, you know, the extraordinary form, the ordinary form working together in this beautiful sort of peaceful coexistence. Some people are attracted to the more traditional Latin Mass and some people are not. But, you know, he doesn't really see that as a divisive thing. However, some bishops of the world have written to the Holy Father, and the Holy Father wrote to the bishops, I'd say about a year ago, and asked their opinion about the existence of the extraordinary form in their diocese, how it's going, etc. So he polled all the bishops, and apparently, you know, some of the bishops said that it was causing division in the diocese, even in parishes and things like this. So as a result of that, in his explanatory letter, Pope Francis has said that because of this sort of division, he wants to curtail the use of the extraordinary form. And he put out a motu proprio, a letter. Motu proprio means of his own, you know, authority. And this letter came out last week, and it sort of restricts the celebration of the Latin Mass according to the 1962 liturgical books. So, yeah, it's caused a big stir within mm-hmm. the church. And those who are, you know, fond of the old Mass are very upset by this. So I'm not sure how it's all going to pan out. And it's very difficult because usually when a motu proprio comes out, it's sort of, or there are some changes liturgical, usually the church gives you sort of warning and says, okay, well, this is going to come into effect on the first week of Advent of this year or something. So people can plan and get ready. So like new translations, when the new missal came out, we were given nearly a year's warning that as of this date, it will go into effect. The new rite of baptism, you know, came out, it was published, and they said, well, actually, it will go into effect at Pentecost, you know. Whereas this motu proprio came out on the 16th of July, and it went into effect immediately.
Wow.
So some bishops have jumped on that and banned the Latin Mass in their diocese, and others, like Archbishop Sample, wrote to his priests and faithful saying, look, this needs some time, it needs some study, it needs some consultation. It probably means some questions going back to Rome for clarifications. And in the meantime, he said, we'll just carry on with the priests who celebrate the old Mass right now, and we'll carry on the same schedules until he's had time to consult with the other bishops, consult with Rome, because the USCCB will have to ask questions of Rome about this. And of course, I will work with him as the Office of Divine Worship to see how this motu proprio will be implemented in the Archdiocese of Portland in Oregon.
Oh, excellent. Well, I think that might come as a relief to some people who, as you said, are very attracted to that traditional Latin Mass, and that we have the opportunity to attend those Masses here in the Archdiocese of Portland. That is most definitely a blessing. And we'll look forward to continued conversation about this letter. Monsignor O'Connor, it is always a wonderful morning when we get to speak. I thank you so much for your time. Will you end us in a prayer?
Yes, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We just pray to St. Joseph in this year of St. Joseph. Hail, guardian of the Redeemer, spouse of the Blessed Virgin Mary. To you, God entrusted his only Son. In you, Mary placed the trust. With you, Christ became man. Blessed Joseph, to us too, show yourself a father and guide us in the path of life. Obtain for us grace, mercy, and courage, and defend us from every evil. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And that is Monsignor Gerard O'Connor. I will be sure to add a link to where you can find the webpage for the Office of Divine Worship, as well as the Archdiocese of Portland. You're going to find the link on the podcast of this interview at materdeiradio.com.